of praise. Our scriptural affirmation today comes from John, the 15th chapter, starting at the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman.
Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes
away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
These things I command
you, that ye love. O Lord, let us be a people that loves one another. Let us love each other outrageously. Let us love each other graciously. Let us love each other in just amazing and wondrous ways that the whole world can see. Because when they see us loving each other, Lord, they will realize that you are real. Oh, we praise you and we thank you. And we just want you to know that if it's up to us, you are welcome here. You are welcome here this day. And we ask that you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not ready to stop singing. There to my heart was... That sounds wonderful. Tell me. I want you to shout it out. So if you're shouting out, we want it short. God has XYZ... glory to his name. Now who?
Prayer.
God has answered prayer. Finish it.
Glory to his name.
All right.
Yes.
And he? Glory to his name. Don't forget the glory to his name. This is that. That's part of this whole thing. What else? Come on. Glory to his name. We have so many things to give glory to you, Lord. In fact, we don't have to give to you. You already have it. We just want to acknowledge that you are wonderful. We just want to acknowledge that you are great. We just want to acknowledge that there's none other like you. We just want to acknowledge that you are and that you're a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name, because you are worthy of all glory, worthy of all honor, worthy of all praise, for you have created all things, and for thy pleasure were and are all things created. Glory to your name. We ought to give you glory because you're God. We ought to give you glory because you love us. We ought to give you glory because you chose us. We ought to give you glory because the heavens declare the glory of God, so we should too. Glory to your name. Sometimes we need to know that this is a we're participants. Scripture today comes from the 15th chapter of the book of John, the beloved disciple, John, who was the one at the Last Supper who was leaning on Jesus' breast. He was close to him. He was there when Jesus was revealed by the Father to be the Son of God in such a wondrous and magnificent way. He was there and he heard Peter saying that he was the Messiah, and he was there at so many different things, that he was the only disciple that may have died of old age. The rest had been killed, all the people that he had been with, all of the things that he had gone through, all of the stuff that he had experienced. And they believe that this is the last of the four Gospels that was written. And now this one who had shown he had loved God, shown that he loved Jesus' mother, shown that he would stand up under perseverance, under persecution, he stood up under all of that stress and all of that, and now, near the end of his days, he's writing and he shares some things with us so that we might believe. Recognize that the book of John is written so that we might believe, that we might grasp, that we, by hearing the word of God, might have more and more and more and more faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't have to see it because we believe it. We are sure, we're so sure that we can live our lives in line with his truth. We're so sure because we have the evidence that has shown itself to be true, because itself is really himself, the word of God made flesh. We see it and we understand it. And here in the 15th chapter of John, he remembers Jesus saying, I am the true vine, the vine, the Prince of Israel. He was the one who the Prince of God, the King for us. That is important for us to grasp, that he is our life. So many of us try to find life other places. Some of us life in our sports, or life in our girlfriend, or life in our job, or life in our contentment, or life in this physical world, but our life is in Him. It's in Him we live and move and have our very being. He is the true vine. And my Father, He's the husbandman. He's the gardener. He's the one who's deciding what has to go and what can stay and where things should be planted and how they should grow. He's the one who is directing all of this. He's the one with the master plan. He is the master who's got the plan. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. What a scary, scary verse. Now, I'm not one that believes that you can lose your salvation, but I do believe you can be fooled and think you've got it when you don't. We're going to take the Lord's Supper today, and we're talking about people joining together as a part of the body of Christ. And I think so many times we let people self-police here. I don't police people, but so many times I've wondered, do they realize what they're saying? You see, you're saying you are a part of the body. You believe that Jesus Christ came from God, was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. At a certain age, He demonstrated how it is for a man to live in faith, demonstrating, showing that He was the Messiah, the King who had come, the King who would save us, the King who would do what it took for us to live. He showed it by these infallible proofs. He did it with the way that He had compassion on the people. He had compassion by the way that He healed. He had compassion by the things He cared about. He had compassion. He loved us, and He showed it. He showed it when He raised Lazarus from the tomb. He showed it when He had the man who with the withered hand stretch forth His hand, even on the Sabbath, showing that He was the Lord of the Sabbath. And that the Sabbath was made for man, and man wasn't made for the Sabbath. He showed it. He showed us that He was the King. He was our Lord. And just when we were so amazed that people were throwing down these all plants in front of Him and taking off their clothes and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." They were just amazed at how gracious and wondrous He was. And in a week from that day, where everybody agreed that He was great, too many agreed that He should be crucified. Crucify Him. He said that He was the Son of God. Let Him come down and show us now. Crucify Him. Kill Him. And He died. He died having never sinned so that He could be the one who took all of our sins' punishment. He took our punishment. All sin means that we were set up for death. But he stood between us and the punishment of the Father. And he took that justified wrath and he absorbed all of that wrath and he died. But 3 days later, he got up. 3 days later, by the power of the Spirit of the living God, he got up, demonstrating that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The King has come. The King died. And the King rose again. And now we can have life because he was the true vine. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh that away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. One of the most interesting things in nature is to see sometimes the most beautiful part of the plant in its early life is the part that you most viciously go after and snip off. You snip that off because it's sucking the life out of the overall plant. Sometimes we have to be cut down a little bit. We have to be pruned back a little bit so the rest of the body can blossom. So the rest of the body can be what it's supposed to be. We have to be shaved back a little bit. We need to be pruned, but that pruning doesn't kill. What that pruning does is brings forth more life. Oh, let the life of God burst out in us because we have taken the pruning of God, because we have welcomed God having his way, because we want to be shaped, we want to be made, we want to be designed the way that he would have us to go. Now ye are clean. Listen, he was saying to them, you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's a principle that still works for us today. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's time we were cleansed. It's time we agree with God about the truth. Agree with God about our state. Agree with God when we've made mistakes or on purposes. When we have been at odds with him, we need to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And I like it when we're cleansed from all unrighteousness. There's nothing like being clean before God because we get excited and go before the throne of grace to find mercy. I need his mercy, his grace. I need his empowerment. Mercy and grace in time of need. Well, that's every day, every moment, the next breath. I need him. I need him. I need him. In time of need to help. Our God is good to us. Abide in me. Please don't just have a passing relationship with God, you know, waving at him as he goes past, or worship waving at him as you go past, doing what you think that you're able to do, whatever you are big enough to do, you just decided that you're going to do that. We no. We need to live in him. We need to not just cling to him, but actually live in him and him in us. Abide in me and I in you. We need to get so tangled up with him, when people see us, they can't distinguish between him and us. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, if you do not have his life pouring into you, you can do nothing of value. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Get this, I'm your life. I'm your life. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Do you understand? You are to bring forth much fruit. You're designed to bring forth fruit. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying you produce fruit to be saved. I'm not saying you produce fruit to even hold on to your salvation. That's not what happens. You grow out of the vine. The vine holds you. You don't hold it. So it's not that you're doing this to be saved or to maintain your salvation, but because of what you are. What are you? What are you? Who are you? The Word of God says, by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, right? Right, good. It's a gift. I don't have to do anything. No, that's not exactly the case. It's a gift of God, not of works. No. You don't have to work. You're not working for this thing. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of you can say, I've been doing it better than everybody else, or I've been doing enough to hold myself in. Whew, I've been doing enough just to get by. Bye. No. That's, you can't do it that way. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. He made us. We didn't make him. His workmanship created unto laziness. No. How about a life of ease? How about we are created unto a state of nothingness, and we just sit around and contemplate our navels. And when we reach a higher plane, we say, No. We're created unto good works. He wants to work in you. There's a work that you've been called to. You have been specifically and specially made by him. You have purpose. You have meaning. There's something for you. You are unique. There is no one else like you. You are something special. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God wants to use you to change the whole world. You're necessary because he said so. You're necessary because he said so. Created unto good works, which he has ordained. He's got an idea for you. And it's time that you plug in. It's time that you plug in. I don't care what your age is. It's time that you unplug from the world and plug into God. It's time. It's time. Now is the time. Don't resist him. Now is the time. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, if a man's not living in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You will drive up and down these streets today, and because of the great windstorms we've had, you will see branches that are in trees that are attached to nothing. You will see things that are in trees, look like trees, but they have no connection to life. God wants you to be connected to life. Are you connected to life? Or are you just one of the branches that's hanging around? Or maybe you're like those branches that are suckers. Luke, help me with that. You know, branches that are ripe, they grow down and they produce fruit. But suckers grow off the top of the thing and they grow up. And they produce no fruit. And you know what a good husbandman does? He chops those suckers off. A good gardener chops those off because all they are doing is sucking life from the body. Sucking life from the tree. What are you? You approaching this thing the way that God would have you to approach it, or the way that you ought to approach it? Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If you have the fruit of the Spirit in you, are you a person that has love? That's what the Word of God says you have. Do you have peace? Joy? I mean, do you have these things? See, the Word of God says you have those things. Why are you not exercising the things that you say you have? Do you have faith? Are you able to put up with some stuff? Long suffering? Do you have the things that show that you are actually connected? Because if you're not identifying any of these things as things that are working in your life this day, then what you need to do is confess and say, Lord, this is not working in my life. Attach me. Graft me in. Help. Help me. But if you're grafted in and you know it, will you please cultivate those things? You're supposed to let your light so shine among men that they see your good works, that they see who you are, and they glorify our Father in heaven. Do you see it? Herein is my Father glorified. That's what we were singing, right? Glory to his name. Is that really what we want to do, or would we just say it because it's a cute tune? Glory to his name. Hey, glory to his name. There, heart. Glory to his name. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I think that means two different things, by the way. It's a fruit of the Spirit, those things, peace, joy, love, all that. We get that. It's that. But it's also that you're being obedient to him. Now, an obedient person to him is one who is doing what they were created for and the job that you were called for. I don't know how he wants you to go about that job, but the overall product that we as the group are making, that's why it says ye a lot here instead of you. The overall product that we are to make is disciples. We are to make fully committed followers of Jesus Christ. We are to be followers of Jesus Christ. We are to be lovers of Christ and lovers of men. We are to be people that care and want people properly attached to the vine. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ who makes followers of Jesus Christ, who makes followers of Jesus Christ? You need to be making disciples and helping others to make disciples. We're made for a purpose. Let's get to it. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, in other words, do what I said do, ye shall abide in my love. You live in my love. You submerge yourself in my love. You're baptized in my love. You're there. You live in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. I want you to have joy. I know I've been scowling today and been kind of grumpy sounding, but the reality is this is a good thing. This is good. This is good. Let us be people that have the joy of the Lord. Real peace when things are tough. Went to a beautiful service yesterday, and we got to see what it looks like for a person to have lived a good life. And in spite of the separation challenges, the missing of them, there's joy there because we know where they're going. Where they are, the beauty of it all. So, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you, giving you my word. Ye have not chosen me. Don't think this was your idea. You have not chosen me, and I have chosen you and ordained you. I've called you and equipped you. I've called you and given you the authority to do what I've called you to do, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You know why? Because if you're abiding in him and his word is abiding in you, what comes out of your mouth will be what he wants. He's just answering his own prayer. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Today, we get the privilege of showing our commitment to Christ and to each other by the taking of the what we call the Lord's Supper. Some traditions call it communion. It's very, very symbolic, but it's not small. It's highly important that we get this. The wafer represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe the word of God. We believe that it is true that he came as a human. He chose to take on flesh. It's critical that we believe that, and that flesh died. He died on the cross. Completely, thoroughly. The blood is represented by the juice. That's symbolic because the blood is the life. The life is in the blood is a better way of saying it. That's the way the Bible says it. The life is in the blood. We're completely, thoroughly identifying with him, and we're identifying with each other as brother and sister. I know we have to grow in it sometimes, but we need to love each other. We need to believe that this is my family. We need to believe that we are his, and he has the right to be Lord, and he is our Savior. When we take that, we're acknowledging that is what God is saying to us. Today, you recognize you can't get there if you don't know him. Today you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Jesus Christ is Lord. You can do that. Let's bow. Dear Lord, I believe Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior. I confess my sins, and I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.